Okay, so it's our prayer morning for the new year, and we're focusing on the story of the wise men visiting Jesus. Very quickly, I'm just going to sort of like set the scene a bit, and then we're going to move around the room. There are different prayer stations around the room to pray together. So there are two characters I want to draw out initially in the story. The first are these wise men. We know that they came from the east, probably Persia or Babylonia. They were famous. They were a group of people, magi, famous for learning and wisdom. And back then, astronomy and astrology were sort of intertwined. So God used that to speak to these guys through a star. One of the other key people in the story is King Herod. Altogether different. Now, there's more than one King Herod in the Bible. So this is not the King Herod who was there at the trial of Jesus. This is another King Herod, an earlier King Herod. And the wise men naturally are looking for a king. So when they arrive, they go to the capital, Jerusalem, and they go to the palace where they meet Herod. Herod the Great, who ruled between 37 BC and 4 BC, he was ruthless and paranoid. He happily murdered people in order to stay in power, including one of his wives and his sons. He had not done either the marriage course or the parenting course. We're going to read Matthew chapter 2, where the story is, together. So here we go. This is the story. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote." This is prophet Micah. You, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time that the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went on their way, and the star they'd seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. So, we'd already said two groups of characters, Herod and the wise men. But the primary mover here, the key in all this story, the events, is neither Herod nor the wise men. It's God. There's a star, not a coincidence. It's God at work. Without the star, the wise men would not have traveled. The love of God, the gospel, would have not been begun to be opened up to people who were not Jews. There's the warning dream to avoid Herod's murderous trap. God at work again. And then there's this prophecy from the Old Testament, the prophecy of Micah, telling them where to look. God was at work again. But there's more in that prophecy. When Matthew quotes the Old Testament, he knows the Old Testament. He assumes his readers know the Old Testament. It is not like a tick-box exercise. He's not saying, okay, you know, Jesus really is the Messiah, and there's 300 prophecies he's going to fulfill, and tick is one of them. He was born in Bethlehem. He is not really saying that. What he wants people to think is, hang on a minute here, when Micah said those things, when he prophesied that, when he was given that vision from God, what was going on, and why is this now so important? It's not just important for the place where Jesus was born. The original time when that prophecy of Micah was given was as the Babylonians, the superpower at the time, were about to invade the land. Death, destruction, occupation were all about to happen. And there's a promise in this prophecy that God was going to deliver Israel from oppressing nations. And he was going to do it in an unexpected way, in an unexpected place, a tiny little insignificant village, Bethlehem. Small, insignificant. Could God really use something small, such small beginnings? That's the essence of what it was back then, 600 or so years before. Now, that Babylonian exile is ancient history. But there's a new foreign oppressor, the Romans. And the people were looking for a champion. But there's even more in this prophecy that Matthew wants his readers to catch on to. Micah, inspired by God, said this, "But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf." Origins in the distant past, from ancient times, literally from days of eternity. This ruler, Micah is saying, is pre-existing. He existed before he was born. He has an ancient history of activity and he's coming on God's behalf. This is God sending God. That's what Micah is saying. The fulfillment of God's promise of a rescuer, not just for Israel, but for the whole world, is beginning to unfold. A light has dawned. It's like a little candle has been lit, a small flickering flame in this small, insignificant village. But that flame is unquenchable. It's not going to go out. It'll spread and spread and spread. And that takes us back to the wise men. Gentiles, as I've said, not Jews. This hope is beginning to spread beyond one nation, one people, into the whole world. The start of the story tells us that they are coming to worship the new king. And worship is what they did when they eventually found him. They bowed down and worshipped. Now, you don't worship a new king. Sure, you bow down to him, but you don't worship him. You worship God. These wise men just had a few pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, but it was enough for them to suss out, to understand that who they were meeting, this little baby or toddler, we're not quite sure how old he was, the right response when they met him was to worship. They bowed down and they gave their gifts. Three expensive gifts fit for a king, but there's more to these gifts than just three expensive gifts fit for a king. They gave gold, a kingly gift. But also, there's a little hint here. There's a little echo here of the Old Testament. Back in the Old Testament was the temple. And in the center of the temple, right at the heart of the temple, was the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, which was covered, the inside of which was covered in gold. Gold was the place where God dwelt with his people. There's a hint of that in this story. God is coming to dwell with his people. They gave frankincense, incense, to represent priests. The sacrifices in the temple were sprinkled with incense. And they gave myrrh for anointing the dead, a hint of the ultimate sacrifice that was to come. So even though this story is the very small beginnings in this little village of Bethlehem, we obviously know that from these small beginnings is going to come something absolutely enormous, world-changing, life-changing. God is going to rescue people. And there's even a hint of this in these gifts. This candle has been lit. The flame is flickering and it will not go out. God's at work. He's at work in the lives of these wise men. He's going to be working on a bigger, much bigger, vaster scale as this gospel, as this flickering flame begins to spread from one people to another, to another, to another. From these small beginnings, the whole of creation will eventually be transformed, rescued, made right. The story he's telling us not to underestimate God. Not to underestimate the small beginnings. God is at work. Not to underestimate the simple prayers that we pray when they're heard by a God who is intent on spreading that flickering flame right across the world. Spread it from Bethlehem into your life, your family, this city, this world. He's saying to us in this story, we should and we can expect more. Whatever we're expecting, we can expect more. And that's why we chose this story to focus our prayer for the new year.